Juba this and Juba that, Juba kill a yellow cat. Juba up, Juba down, Juba run all around.
Banjoist Clark Buehling from his CD called Out of His Gourd, a tune called Juba. And Out of His Gourd because he was playing on, on this CD, various early American gourd banjos. That's G-O-U-R-D, yes, banjos made out of gourds. And he's going to be with us live, not playing a gourd banjo, at least not that I see in the room, coming up in just a moment here on Live and Local on FM 90.9. I'm Kevin Kelly. The show is your connection to local performances, and that's pertinent to Clark Buehling's performance tonight at 7 o'clock at Techline Studio in Champaign. More details coming on that. And then later in the show, another feature on the brand new Audio Feed Music Festival, which is having its first iteration at the Champaign County Fairgrounds this Friday and Saturday in Urbana. And we have one of the many performers in that festival, singer-songwriter Lauren Peacock, going to be joining us live in the studio as well. But first, thanks to Clark Buehling for returning to Live and Local as you're returning to Techline. Thanks for coming in.
Yes, hello, Kevin. Thanks for having me back.
And I should tell listeners that you are better than dressed for radio. You are actually dressed for a show of earlier American music performance.
Yes, I got my white linen on. Yeah.
And, of course, we don't have a particularly hot day for you.
No, so I wore my vest.
So which indicates that there is a costume involved in most of your shows, I assume.
Well, I was always told to dress better than the clientele.
Is that a pre-comment on the audience that's going to come tonight?
Well, I would be surprised if anyone came dressed better than I, but I would like to see it.
And they won't.
It's a challenge.
They won't have a mustache like yours either.
I will match my mustache against theirs.
Well, and the mustache we're talking about is also period, essentially.
It's a new one actually. It's one I've had with me for some years, but it's not an antique exactly. In this I am. I don't know what's the definition of antique.
Well, it used to be anything 25 years old.
Oh, well, then
or,
it's an antique
longer,
mustache,
but how it pertains to people, I don't know. I think that's all No, but really, I said that introduced this as, or maybe I didn't introduce this as 19th century music. I just said early American gourd banjo. But talk a little bit about where your idiom comes. What's your the meat and potatoes of the music that you play most often, historically speaking?
Oh, what period?
Yeah.
I interpret.
Yeah.
We could put it that way, interpreting a period. Anywhere from 1830s till 1920, just a niche.
Does that period have a name when it pertains to the banjo? Or
old stuff?
Not really, old stuff.
Old stuff. I think that's about it. It's 19th century mostly. But we can divide it up. It depends what kind of gig I'm working. It might be a Lewis and Clark send-off at St. Charles, or it might be a Civil War ball, and so then there's different music involved, or a ragtime festival. Earlier this year, I was at the Scott Joplin International Ragtime Festival in Sedalia, Missouri. So that's an entirely different repertoire. When I get home in Arkansas, which will be on the 14th, I have to play a brunch for 3 hours, and I will try to include some more classically inclined music.
What does classical mean in the context of the banjo?
It means transcriptions, and it means compositions in European style, waltzes, gallops, marches, schottisches, American pieces, and British pieces, mostly written in the 1880s till about 1915, about in that area.
In the last, I don't know how many shows, I didn't look at your tour schedule, I don't know how many shows you've had, if any, in the last couple of days, but have you been doing anything pertinent to the Civil War, given that I think today would have been day three of the Battle of Gettysburg?
That's right. I was out at Antietam a week or so ago, week and a half ago, at the battlefield there. We had a early banjo gathering with some papers delivered, given some talks and demonstrations. And it took place in General McClellan's headquarters in a barn. I guess, I don't know if his headquarters were the barn or the house up the hill. But
probably the house up the hill.
One would hope.
When I've read about him, he put himself in as fancy a place as possible.
Yes, unless the bodies, the doctors were driving him out. They were probably in the barn, the doctors and the what was going on there, the hospital. Probably everything you probably walked over people and wherever you were.
So you have two types of banjos with you here, and we played. You know, you played one of your gourd banjos on the CD. Mm-hmm. What were American banjos generally made of? You know, in the early part of the 19th century, or is there even such a general answer?
Yes, there is. Things that laid about, I guess. The early banjos were made by slaves generally or by free blacks, but usually an underclass instrument, and therefore found objects, gourds, sifter hoops, various lathes from, shaved to make a neck, and pieces of the scraps, this and that. Even the strings were sort of thrown together from what they could acquire, maybe stolen from the big house, maybe some silk thread or something sneaked out.
Did any cats meet their demise in order to...
I imagine cats were involved in there somewhere. Cats and wild game generally probably were involved in the early music of America, whether they did it voluntarily or not. Around the 1840s, drum makers started to, one particular, Boucher, started to make banjos, especially under the direction of Joe Sweeney, I understand. And Joe Sweeney was credited with being the inventor of the banjo. I might say he's the early disseminator of the banjo and spread the word and the techniques.
What would be called the modern banjo?
Well, we refer to it now as minstrel banjo. Mm. Much of the performance on banjo was done in blackface in the North, or among the whites. It was part of a minstrel show. There were other uses for it too, dances and frolics and other folk uses. But the spread of the banjo came through the stage performances, variety show, and through the, much like, if you remember the show Hee Haw.
Oh, yeah.
Well, it was like an early version of Hee Haw. Think of it that way, the corny jokes and the songs and alternating with this and that. So music, of course, and banjos. And so after that, there was a movement to raise up the idea and the music of the banjo into a more cultivated level, a better clientele. Of course, this was promoted by banjo makers, a more wealthy clientele and an upscale thing. And so they made serious efforts to make the banjo an American classical instrument, like, as they said at the time, like the violin for the Italians. The American instrument would be the banjo, if they had anything to say about it.
That's an interesting way to put that.
Yeah.
Why don't you give us a sample of what you might play on tonight's show?
Okay.
And would this be a minstrel banjo? It's a fretless banjo.
Yes,
anyway.
This is what would be called minstrel banjo, what we call it these days. It's a fretless banjo. It's tuned lower. I have nylon strings on it. We could make up a name for an animal with a nylon gut.
But no cats were harmed produce these strings.
Watchman was running around crying, old Dan Tucker's come to town. Get out of the way, get out of the way, get out of the way, old Dan Tucker, you're too late to get your supper. Darby Ram, we sent him whizzing down the hill. If he hadn't got up, he'd lay there still. Get out of the way, get out of the way, get out of the way, old Dan Tucker, you're too late to get your supper. Sinner, he never said his grace at dinner. The old sow squealed, pigs to squall, the whole hog with a tail and all. Get out of the way, get out of the way, get out of the way, old Dan Tucker, you're too late to get your supper.
Clark Buehling, excuse me, live here on Live and Local on FM 90.9. He'll be playing tonight at 7 o'clock at Techline Studio on South Locust Street in Champaign. Doors opening for that show at 6:30, and he was playing a minstrel-style fretless banjo here in our studio. And where does that music come from? About what period? Same period that we're talking about? Mid-19th century? Something?
Yes, mid-19th century, right through the Civil War, antebellum and bellum.
And I always wanted to look up Bellum.
Yes. Civil War. And then the banjo started to change, and the music changed, and, well, the whole culture was changing after the war. And now I have here a... I wanted to remark, a lot of the music was written down into books, and I've studied the old books to find these tunes. I didn't just pull them out of the air.
And books meaning, you know, sheet music,
sheet
collections
music,
of tunes.
Yes, collections in books, instructional things like that. And here now I've picked up a fretted banjo. Fretted meaning you've got little metal bars along the fingerboard where the notes have particular places rather
pretty
than
much
just
like
general general areas.
like your average guitar.
Like an average guitar, but unlike a violin or a stand-up bass.
So this one looks to me more like what I'd call anyway a more modern banjo.
Yes, this pretty much is the form of the banjo today. There's a lot of remarks about, well, does it have a back or not? This doesn't have a back, but it did at one time. It's an open back banjo without its back or whatever. It's just an old banjo. It's a Bacon banjo, or half of it is.
Bacon meaning the brand.
The brand is Bacon, as manufactured by Fred Bacon, who is also the banjo teacher of my banjo teacher, who was Frank Bradbury. Fred Bacon, the maker of this banjo, was my teacher's my teacher's teacher.
Your teacher's teacher. So does that mean it was, this is, I assume then, a little older vintage banjo?
Yes. I don't know exactly. I think this, the original banjo that this was derived from, it has a new neck made for it. It's not too new now, but it's not the original neck. It was a tenor banjo, and it was from about 1910. And the tenor banjo was an offshoot of the standard five-string banjo. The tenor banjo is the banjo, the tenor and the plectrum, the two four-string banjos you commonly run into. They came about with the dance bands just before the First World War, about that time, the end of the ragtime period and the start of the jazz. You can't really cut one off from the other, though, ragtime to jazz. All these things are sort of gradual. It's only in music history books do you have, sharp delineations.
Because they need to have some way to divide things up into chapters, probably.
Into chapters, that's right. That's right. And put them into one page and another.
And you'll be playing both these instruments and, I imagine, a few others tonight?
No, I will just play these two, but I can get pretty much music out of them.
Well, I hope so. Reasonable and demonstration
varied
of that.
Yeah. Okay. Now, here I'm playing in the same style. That's the same tune I just did previously on the minstrel banjo.
A little higher pitched.
About a fourth higher.
A little louder.
Louder. On my index finger, I am wearing what's called a thimble. In German, it's a Fingerhut. Because I played over there a couple of years ago, and my finger hoot. It's a pick that is very similar to the bluegrass finger picks, but turned around backwards, or twist turned around, not this way. What do you say? Lateral?
Of course, this will be somewhat meaningless to anybody
yes,
who doesn't
right.
actually play the banjo.
If you don't, but it's like a fingernail. It's flattened out, and it's a fingernail.
Extension of your fingernail.
An extension of the fingernail, right. And my right-hand fingernails being short, it's extended quite a bit.
Was this what you would call finger-picking style as opposed to...
This is called thimble style or stroke style or clawhammer or frailing style.
It looked like clawhammer to me.
Yes, it's basically clawhammer. And then there are variations of that, more complex right-hand movements. The finger style is derived from guitar style, thumb and two fingers, usually. And I'll play a little bit in guitar style, what we call three-finger style. You notice I use the 19th century terms. Guitar style, banjo style, guitar style. Okay. I'll play a simple tune in guitar style. In C tuning. It's called the Rattlesnake Jig.
The Rattlesnake Jig. Mm-hmm. Also from instruction book?
Yes. Probably from a couple different ones.
Did you learn banjo from one of these older instruction books, or did you learn banjo and then go back and research these things, retool your style, or how did that work for you?
I was doing all those simultaneously. When I first picked up the banjo, I bought books. Listened to records, talked to people, met people.
But you probably bought books that were not the 19th century variety.
Funny enough, one of them actually was. I didn't know that. I learned to read. I had piano background, so music wasn't too much of a mystery. But applying the music in that book to the banjo was mysterious. Particularly because it was a transposing notation. And I really wasn't sure of even what octave I was in. They never said octave notation, but it was octave and a third, or I don't know. It was a notation. And it was republished in the 60s, in the 1960s, because of the new interest in the banjo. The company decided they would republish their old book. Why not? You know, we got an old banjo book on file. Let's republish it. I figured that they didn't really realize that notation had changed since then to C from A. They published it in A, and most other people were reading C or in banjo tablature. Most people in tablature form. So I learned to read the old notation from the very beginning, and that helped me in my collecting. So I collected music. It was not mysterious to me. Other people would pass it up and often hand it to me, give me the music because they couldn't read it. It meant nothing. I later found the teacher, Frank Bradbury, to study classic banjo, classic finger style. He was formerly been a professional for a short time following the First World War when he was a young man. and he continued to teach in Hartford, Connecticut. So there I had my instruction. It wasn't an extended instruction. I wasn't living in Connecticut, and after a while he was old anyway and passed away, and I had only a few weeks study with him. But he had a book out, and I used the book, and I used all the other things that I was collecting, boxes of music that became available once people knew that I was interested. And, you know, you don't necessarily want to throw away a box of music if you know there's some value to it. I'll play something that I pulled out of a box of music. And this is the this is a waltz. And I'm trying to think of the name of it. It's on my list somewhere on the floor.
Did you happen to remember the name of it as you were playing?
Oh.
Maybe not.
Maybe not. Yeah. It's,
That's okay. Some old waltz.
Some old waltz.
Played by some old guy in our studio.
That's
here.
Right. No, exactly.
Played specifically by Clark Buehling here live on Live and Local. And time having run quickly, I will just say, as he's looking up to see which one it might have been, that he's going to be playing
Woodland Park.
Woodland Park Waltz.
Woodland Park Waltz.
Fair enough. 7 o'clock tonight at Techline Studio, which is located at 307 South Locust Street in Champaign. Doors will open at 6:30. There is a charge to hear Clark tonight. For more information, you can phone area 217-352-5570. You can see him in all his finery that, of course, you can't see on the radio. And hear a couple of different types of banjos, a couple of different specific banjos, and then lots of types of music, mainly from the 19th century. And I certainly appreciate your coming in and sampling your wares today.
Thank you very much, Kevin.
Pleasure to have you back on the show. Stay tuned next for live performance by a singer-songwriter, guitarist, and I think she might be doing some piano today, Lauren Peacock. She's going to be performing this weekend at the Audio Feed Music Festival happening in Urbana. Our broadcast today is made possible with support from the Sousa Archives and Center for American Music, preserving our nation's musical heritage at the University of Illinois, now featuring the new exhibit, The James Bond Theme, Music to Live, Die, and Love Another Day. More information is available at sousaarchives.org. This is Live and Local on FM 90.9. And here is Clark's group called The Skirt Lifters from their CD, Wait for the Wagon.
Thank you.
That was either a tune called Smoky Mokes, but I have a feeling we might have gone on into the Eureka Clog Dance. Primrose and West's Clog, played here by the Skirtlifters from their CD, Wait for the Wagon, here on Live and Local on FM 90.9. I'm Kevin Kelly, and I want to say thanks to all who made financial gifts to Illinois Public Media over the last 12 months. You certainly helped us make a difference in this community, as we've made it possible for listeners throughout Central Illinois to enjoy countless hours, really, of great live local music coverage here on Live and Local, but also the other services that this station provides as well, certainly our classical music service, our news and information service. And I am pleased to say that as of June 30th, when we ended our fiscal year 2013, Illinois Public Media exceeded its fundraising goal of $2.1 million. That is entirely thanks to you, and we are very, very grateful for your support, as are all the folks who enjoy this station day in and day out. Thank you very much. Next up, also live in our studio, is Lauren Peacock, who I think originally from Philadelphia and currently in Nashville.
Originally from the Chicago area.
Oh, are you really?
Mm-hmm.
I missed that somewhere along
the
line. So you made, was that the triangle, Chicago to Philadelphia and Nashville?
Mostly Madison, Wisconsin for 6 years, and I grew up in Northern California as well as the Chicago area.
Good heavens, even before we hear you play anything, that sounds like there's a real quick story involved.
Yeah. No, just mostly between the San Francisco and Chicago areas growing up, and then briefly in Colorado Springs, Madison for 6 years, Chicago for four, Philly for four. Now I'm in Nashville and really enjoying it.
And that's a pretty recent move.
Yeah, February.
In the last years.
Oh,
yeah. Really? Very, yeah. Very recent. Is that, are you doing the thing that most people who end up in Nashville are doing, which is going to try to make it, so to speak?
Well, I'm going to try to tour from a more centrally located position in the country. So, I mean, I didn't really move there trying to make it in Nashville per se. I actually never thought I'd move to Nashville because I thought that was a silly thing to do as a musician. But it's been really positive, and I do like a lot of what's going on there. I play at a lot of house shows. I'm still figuring out the scene per se, but I'm just touring a lot from there.
And it's a silly thing to do in Nashville just because so many people had the same idea and there's so many there?
Yeah, or? It's just not something I would have expected myself to do because it's, you know, just a big pond, but I'm realizing there are a lot of really nice people and it's going really well. It's just not the reason necessarily I moved to that location, surprisingly.
It's probably a silly question to ask. It's sort of like somebody who, you know, you land in New York, or actually you land in New York and you say, oh, do you know so-and-so? Just because they happen also to be in New York with the millions and millions of people. But do you know Keith Harden?
No.
He's a guy from here who I know has moved there some time ago and comes back every once in a while. Singer, songwriter, recording, record producer, you know.
I might run into him at some point.
Yeah, you might. Who knows?
There's definitely like certain circles. It's a really small world there, actually. It's a big pond in a way, but it's everybody kind of knows each other after a certain amount of time. So maybe I'll run into him.
You haven't been there for that certain amount of time.
No. And I've been gone a lot.
Yeah. I should say that Lauren Peacock is in town, which is to say in Urbana, for the Audio Feed Music Festival, which is having its inaugural run this weekend, Friday and Saturday. I'm actually looking at the schedule. Are you playing just once, a couple of times? I see you once.
Friday at 5:20, I think, on the acoustic stage, and 3:10 on Saturday at the Arkansas, Jean-Michel Arkansas
stage. There you go.
Arkansas
I missed you on the acoustic stage. Yeah, 5:20 Friday night. Yeah, 3:10. These times are very precise. Well, let's just launch into whatever you want to start with. Hey, have a sample of your wares, and then we'll...
Sure.
Which I think is exactly what I said to Clark. This is very different wares we're sampling here compared to old-time banjo.
I know. I wish I knew old-time banjo. This is I'll Be Wearing Gray. It's a lullaby. Good night, sweet, I love you. Be waiting. Rob the day if your ship be
say. In my ship of barnacles, barnacles, in my shipman's way.
I'll Be Wearing Gray, music by Lauren Peacock. That comes off of Keep It Simple, Let the Sun Come Out.
Correct.
Interesting double title. Where did you come up with it? Where does that come from?
It's from the title track. If we get to do a third song today, it was the one I was going to do that I was telling you about. And it was the title of a song, and it just made sense. There were a few titles that I was rolling around with, and I can't actually remember them right now. It might come back to me, but... There were a few song titles that also made sense, and that was one of them. But just the recording process and just the idea, just to keep it simple, let it happen, let it have the process it wants to have. Like when you're recording and things are going crazy, technical difficulties and trying to corral the musicians and schedule everybody, you have to let go at some point and let it be the creative process that it wants to be. And so it seemed appropriate, given it was my debut full length.
And that's still the current full length.
Yeah, I have an EP out. Yeah, I am. I have a lot more piano-driven material, a little more experimental, but similar, kind of wider piano arrangements. I'm working on a lot of new stuff, and I am excited. I hope to finish recording it this year, if possible. But again, it's the same thing. Keep it simple, let the sun come out. Like, who knows?
Well,
working toward that.
And you said pulling musicians together. You're of course playing here. Solo. Will you be playing at the festival this weekend also solo?
Yes. I usually have a few more gadgets and toys, like a vocal pedal that creates harmonies and a looper pedal and some things, and my keyboard that has some effects on it to fill out the sound a little bit and create a bigger sound, but I am solo still.
But you're not bringing other gadgets such as other people
to
this gig?
No, not those kind of wonderful gadgets.
But on that recording, you do have, in fact, you have with you on that recording the person I talked to on the show on Monday,
right.
It was Dennison Whitmer.
Yeah.
And then this band that you toured with for a while, Me Without You, interesting
yeah.
spelling or capitalization
yeah.
in the middle
right,
of there.
Right, right, right.
What are they like?
They're kind of a hardcore, punkish, eclectic, punkish band that turned much more eclectic, almost like math rocky in my mind. I mean, they could argue with me.
I have no idea what math rock is.
Kind of like very, they're more technical now, two guitarists, and it's everything kind of fits together and is very like thought out, and the music is rock music, but it's not just like, you know, throw everything to the wall and like just play loud and whatever. Like their arrangements and the parts, the way they interconnect and things are very almost mathematical. Like they're just they're a complicated band. Then the writing used to be more like soulful, personal, like spiritual journey kind of stuff. And now it's like storytelling. Even circus animals are involved. Aaron Weiss, the lead singer, is like in a lot of people's mind, a very amazing writer. So he's, you know, they're very creative. I don't know how to classify them, especially they've changed so much, but they're doing wonderful things. But they're a cool band.
And it's probably hard to classify yourself as well, because
right.
That record, what I was able to hear of it is represents pretty wide range of
right.
types of music. I mean, I'd say what you just sang was more of the, for want of a better broad term, singer-songwritery
sure.
type of song.
Exactly.
And some of those a little more, you know, straight ahead pop rock kinds of things.
Mm-hmm.
Do you feel yourself headed in some direction, or are you mm-hmm. working on figuring that out?
I think both. I'm really excited. I'm having a good time working on figuring that out. And it's interesting what comes out. But I was classically trained for most of my life as a pianist. My mom was a Suzuki piano teacher. So a lot of the more intricate piano arrangements are coming out instead of like a certain like patch of sound, like a riff that I play over and over through a song or something. It's becoming more a little more experimental just in the piano parts. I don't want to necessarily reference Regina Spektor, but for some reason I'm feeling like I should. But just because she plays all sorts of weird things, but it's not like I'm going to sound just like her. But just for a reference point, I think there's more of that I'm incorporating in, but I still love the simple acoustic guitar song. And yeah, I just feel like it's just getting more, like the arrangements aren't going to be quite as concise and poppy. It'll be a little bit more space in there. Like movie soundtracky type moments and things that
you need an orchestra for that,
right? Or just really good technology and layering, and that's why I'm experimenting with the looper pedal and trying to create a lot of it on my own. But the layers, I'm definitely going in that more orchestral direction in my own way, I guess.
Well, we have a keyboard for you here in the studio.
Yeah.
It probably has orchestral effects, but you haven't had time to work
no.
those out. So,
it's what a clavinova.
What do you want to do on our clavinova?
How much do we have time for, one or two?
Let's get one done, and then
okay.
we'll see.
Let's try the one I was originally going to do.
Okay.
Called Mend.
Mend, M-E-N-D. It's Lauren Peacock live on Live and Local as she gets set up. Let me mention that our show is made possible with support from Eastern Rug Gallery, 1402 South Neal in Champaign, offering over 1,000 hand-knotted rugs imported from all major rug-producing countries. Eastern Rug Gallery also offers cleaning service for Oriental and other handmade rugs and repair and restoration services. Lauren is playing twice at the Audio Feed Music Festival at the Champaign County Fairgrounds this weekend, Friday and Saturday, in Urbana. We'll give you the exact times coming up. Mend by Lauren Peacock.
Okay, here it is.
I see the distance between us like a gulf you cannot cross. Is it all you or is it me? I only see the cost in the midst of my defenses that keep me safe and all dressed. Day after day I put them away and I take them back off the shelf.
Expect the tag at the end there.
I figured.
Mend, Lauren Peacock.
It's not on the recording.
I was not on the recording.
No, that was special.
We had to put. Thank you for that.
You're welcome.
We feel extra special here on Live and Local that she's joined us live. Lauren Peacock will be at the Audio Field Music Festival. Two performances this weekend. Friday afternoon at 5:20 on the acoustic stage, and then Saturday at 3:10 on the Sean Michelle's Arkansas stage. There are four stages at that festival, plus a fifth one called the Front Porch, where actually attendees can sign up if you want to get a chance to play on there, I think. And if you want more information on the complete schedule, who's going to be there, what it's all about, go to audiofeedfestival.com. And we'll let Lauren do one more in just a couple of minutes. Let me tell you some other things that are going on in our listening area the next couple of days. The Blues Deacons are at the Prairie Park in Urbana this evening at 6:30. At the Little Theater on the Square in Sullivan, it's the musical Anything Goes. Tonight at 8, tomorrow at 8, and that schedule continues for a while. Check out their website. It's Evil Dead, the musical, at the Station Theater in Urbana, also tonight at 8 o'clock, and that continues for a while. The Alex Falls self-titled band at Canopy Club in Urbana tonight at 9 o'clock. Tomorrow, the Decatur Park Singers are in Decatur at Nelson Park, 7 o'clock. The Springfield Municipal Band will be at the Illinois State Capitol tomorrow at 6:30. Kilbourne Alley Blues Band at Allerton Park in Monticello, Friday evening at 6 o'clock. It's the Howlin' Brothers playing old-time blues and bluegrass at Cowboy Monkey and Champagne Friday night at 10 o'clock. The Big Creek Guitar Band are at the Pink House in Ogden Friday evening at 5 o'clock. Did I say the Howlin' Brothers? It's Friday night at 10 o'clock, in case I said tomorrow. And lots of other things going on as well, but those are some of the things in our listening area. I'm glad you joined us today. We'll be back. I won't be on tomorrow, but we'll be back with you on Friday, where we will have cellist Kawai Yu and pianist Phoenix Park Kim, who are giving a recital this weekend in Champaign, and also Michael Rowe, who is performing at the Audio Feed Music Festival, will be with us live as well. You're listening to 90.9 WYL-FM and HD Urbana with Translator W293 AF Danville, NPR Classical Music and More for Central Illinois. WYL is a member-supported service of the College of Media at Illinois. I'm Kevin Kelly, and I hope you'll stay with us for the next couple of minutes. At 5 o'clock, it's All Things Considered from NPR. What do you want to close with, Lauren?
Keep It Simple, Let the Sun Come Out.
Oh, that's the title track, of course. We knew that was coming.
Length. Yeah, it's come. Okay. Thank you for having me.
So we're here now. All is well. Let us take this as far as it'll go. Put our roots down. Watch them grow. I'm just glad you're gonna be around. Looks like now's the time for our paths to open wide. I was young when you moved to town and you showed up wet at my front door. You were drowned the year before and the water dripped on the wood floor. Your clothes were ripped and worn. Tattered stitches come undone. So we're here now, all is well. Let us take this as far as it'll go. Put our roots down, watch them grow. I'm just glad you're gonna be around. 'Cause now is the time to touch forever. Babe, we're not too far to get. So tell them to wait for us tomorrow. We'll pack our bags in rusty air. There's a town right down the road where I always dreamed we landed. Put our roots down, watch them grow. Keep it simple. Let the sun come out, keep it simple. So we're here now, all is well. Let us take this as far as we can.